Hey, let me ask you today, is there something on your heart by which burdens you? It could be health, wealth, lack of health, lack of wealth. How about, does anybody have anything, just you'd say, raise your hand and say, I have needs in prayer. Raise your hand if you do. Well, I can tell you, I do. Many of us don't want to acknowledge those needs. Why? Because it means we're dependent on a greater one than us. And so many times we have to turn our hearts and say, maybe tomorrow. Well, in the Old Testament, and obviously Jesus lived, I don't know if you know this or not, it's a trivia question if you ever have to answer it. When did Jesus live? He lived during the Old Testament period. Even though it's in the New Testament scriptures, he lived during the Old Testament period, and he told them the temple of God would be, my Father's house should be called a house of prayer. Well, I've heard preachers preach that today about the church, but I've got news for you. The temple has moved. It is no longer in Jerusalem. Where is the temple today? You are the temple of God if you're a Christian. So therefore, the house of God moves where? Wherever you go. And so the prayer is not a place that we come to pray, even though it's great to pray corporately together, but the temple is on the move. The temple is going to leave here and go to different zip codes. The temple is going to leave here, and it's going to go into your community, my community, and you take the living God with you. Where is the Holy of Holies? That was a special place. Where is the Holy of Holies today? In you. If you're a Christian, how important was the place? Even the some of the high priests who maybe they were zealous for the rituals and the traditions of men, how often was the high priest allowed to go into the Holy of Holies? Once a year. How often do you walk around with the Holy of Holies within you? Every day of the year. Does it change your mindset of who you are and whose you are, how special God thinks that his salvation is through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ? He says we are the temple of God. And being a temple of God, how should we speak and how should we act and what should we see and what conversation should we have? We walk around today asking God, and as we sing these songs, the Bible says, God inhabits the praise of his people. So why is God doing all this business with you and me today, knowing how we live? Why are we struggling today, this morning, as I walked in, it was a clear morning, it was a beautiful morning this morning, and I could hear the birds, they're on the move. And the Canadian geese are flying in, the Canada geese, they're not Canadians, we were told that they can't be Canadians, they're Canada geese. They've flown in and they've taken over the pond area. We see birds in the trees. And what does Jesus say? The first thing that comes through, the morning air was crisp this morning. And I just heard Jesus say, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much greater than the birds? That's what Jesus said. What's the answer? Yes, you are. Have y'all seen did you see the birds this morning? Did you hear the birds this morning? So whatever your prayer request is, I'm going to ask you to do this. If we could, just before as we start today and as we've been praising God and as we've been saying words back to God, hopefully you've been speaking back to God. Hey, God, I got this big prayer need. It could be a lost family member. It could be your health. It could be a wealth situation. I've got this time limit, God. I need a job, God. Whatever it might be. Can we just pray together this morning corporately as a body of Christ? Yes, we're here together with the temple squeezed into this building, right? We brought the temple in the church today. Can we just pray? You can pray right where you are. I'm going to open up the altar as well for us to pray. Melody, I know you don't ever get a chance to pray when we ask you, but would you play something beautiful on the piano as we pray? Maybe what we were just singing, and I guess you got to pray and play. Can you do both? Can you pray and play? But I'm going to ask you just for next a minute or two or three, or as long as the Lord leads us to pray. The message is important today. Don't minimize that. But I just feel that we've come today and we keep carrying these burdens every stinking week. We keep coming to the same place, worthy is the Lamb. And we walk out going, oh, Lord, I don't even believe you can fix this. Have you not been there? So I'm going to open the altar this morning. You can stand where you are. You can sit. You can kneel. I'm going to kneel at the altar and pray because there's some things that even that I'm praying for our church and for our community. God, let us be the lighthouse. Let us be the beacon that you've called us to be. We're not being a church. We're not doing what God says to do as a whole. we're fearful chewing our nails. We're more concerned about me, mine, and myself than the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I want to challenge you, but also give you the opportunity today. If you'd like to pray, the altar is open as Melody plays. Don't know what she's going to play. It wasn't planned. But I just want to ask you to pray where you are, stand where you are, kneel where you are, lay prostrate on the floor if you want to, where you are this morning. I'm going to be here at the altar. We're just going to pray until the Lord says, stop. Let's pray. Father, I know there's people that are praying still in their hearts, crying out to you. And Lord, even as we hear the music, Lord, you're the solo focus of who we are and whose we are. Lord, bend and break our hearts to be more and more like Christ. The prayers that were lifted to you this morning, maybe they've been lifted all week or all month or for years or for a time period. But Father, would you respond in a way that, Lord, we know that you answer every prayer with yes or no or wait or my grace is sufficient for thee. Father, would you help us today to be your people who are patient, who are in love with you because you're in love with us. As we respond to you, Lord, would we respond knowing, Lord, that we don't care who sees, what others think. We care what you think and what you see. And Lord, how you speak to us individually. We need you desperately, Lord, today. And Lord, we pray out, we cry out in Jesus' name for your will to be done, your sovereign will, and that, Father, you would motivate us, that we'd be obedient to you as you've called us to be. We thank you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. And I know it's not a prideful thing, but can we just give our musicians and those who minister us just a thank God for them? Thank you, Melody, so much. Thank you, Chris, team. Let's take our Bibles and turn today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're almost nearing the end of this book, and we're going to go right into 2 Thessalonians, even though there's a time distance in the between the 1st and 2 Thessalonians. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. We'll finish this book next week, but we want to get to the passage of Scripture today, and this was one of the hardest sermons to preach because there's so much detail here, and there's so much information tied to prophecies, Old Testament prophecies, tied to the future events that's going to happen and tied to their current event. This is some 2,000 years ago. So it's, how do you tie all that together? And the answer is just preach the word straightforward as Paul preached it to the church. So if you want to have coffee and talk about the scripture, it's extremely important. This is a passage of scripture that should scare you to death or excite you beyond yourself. This is where it's going to be. You're so fearful. If you're not a Christian, let me just tell you today, if you're not a Christian today, God has some hard words for you. You should be afraid. If you don't know that you know that you know that you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you should be fearful because you have a terrible future ahead of you if you don't give your life to Jesus Christ. If you're a believer today, Paul finishes up. He talked last week, we talked about the word rapture, the snatching away of the church of God. And Paul says, comfort one another with these words. I don't know if you remember when they used to preach when I was growing up. It was, and God's word said, and it was like, and the rapture was this awful thing that's coming. That you're never going to have kids, you're never going to get married. It could be today, and Jesus Christ is going to snatch you away. Well, as a kid, I used to hear that going, I don't want to be any part of that. Now, the flying part would be pretty cool, but like it sounds like I always thought Jesus was mad because the preacher always sounded mad. Right? So when I hear the words of God, I always thought that he's ticked off at us. And then we heard the day of the Lord, which sounds like a nice, pleasant day. That sounds better, doesn't it? The day of the Lord, that sounds like a nice day. Well, I had it backwards. That's judgment. That's when God's wrath is being poured out. And so there's two things. Paul takes a breath, and I hope you know this as you study the Bible, and you might not. I don't take it for granted because I didn't know that chapter 4 and chapter 5 are not separated. In the original, obviously, it's a letter. It just flows right into one another. Man has divided it so we can study it and understand the Word of God. So Paul is taking a breath between chapter 4 when he finishes up chapter 4, and he says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. But, he starts chapter 5 as we begin today, but he's going to transition and say, I need to tell you something that you already know. You know it well, but I'm going to say it to you anyway because the Holy Spirit's moving me to write it down for you. So let's go to chapter 5, knowing that we just come out of chapter 4, or the last verse 18 to chapter 4, therefore comfort one another with these words. What words? The words about the rapture. Again, please, if you get you have conversations with people, and some people say, well, the word rapture is not even in the Bible. They're exactly right. I told you that. The word rapture is not there. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. The word Bible is not in the Bible. So these are words that we actually understand in the English language. What it means, the Greek word there means to be snatched away. So instead of being snatched away, the word we use is rapture. The rapture is for believers only, okay? For Christians only. If you're a Christian, the rapture is for you. If you're not a Christian, you're going to be affected by the rapture, but you're not going with us, all right? Paul talked about the dead in Christ, your brothers and sisters who have died. That's why he wrote the letter, because some of them thought, oh my goodness, grandma missed the rapture. Grandma, grandpa, my husband, my wife, they missed it because they died, and they're going to miss the rapture. And Paul says, no, don't panic. Those who have died as Christians, they're present with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. The Lord's coming back in the clouds with the sound of an archangel, the trumpet of God. He's going to call forward. They're going to come out of their graves. They're going to be wherever their graves are. I've told you last week, we went through that whole process. Somebody told me how gross it was. The kids thought it was funny that if a sailor falls off the ship, where's the sailor? He could end up at Long John Silver's on your table, right? Because he's part of the sea. You might be eating many, many dead sailors. It could be. Point being, we're scattered. If God can bring a molecular structure together back in the day when he created Adam and Eve, could he not bring about together the DNA from whatever human around the planet that belongs to him? Amen? We have a powerful, awesome God. So the dead in Christ rise first, but those of us who are alive in Christ, if you're not in Christ, this is not for you, we shall likewise simultaneously meet those in the air and be with the Lord forever in the air, right? We go to the sky, and we're with him forever. Now, we know there's a new heaven, a new earth coming. We know there's a great tribulation period coming. We know there's a millennial period coming. We've talked about those of you who were with us through the book of Revelation, but we'll try to summarize, and that's what I said. There's so many messages within this message. Let's read today as Paul talks to the church in Thessalonica. Again, he's just excited them about the rapture, and now he's going to talk to them about the day of the Lord, two distinctly different things, even though they're right next to each other in verses. The rapture and the day of the Lord. Got it? There's two different things. Rapture is for who? Christians, the Christian church. The day of the Lord is for who? Unbelievers, those who will be judged and receive the wrath of God. So those two are separate. Even though they're very close in the scripture, they're unrelated as far as we're concerned today as Christians. So as we read this, I even gave you this in your notes. Listen to the pronouns. Paul's going to talk about I, you, yours. He's going to talk about them and they. I'll show you that in your passage. Let's read together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning of verse 1. Again, transitions from verse 18. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord's for who? Unbelievers, okay? For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that the day, capital D, should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do or as others, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us, and by the way, if you mark your Bible, if you've got John 3:16 marked in your Bible, I would strongly encourage you, my friends, my brothers and sisters, to mark verse 9 in your Bible. Circle it, underline it, whatever. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So Paul talks about the day of the Lord, and he says, comfort one another. Because why? What comfort is there knowing that the Lord's wrath is coming upon this planet, upon people? The comfort is that we're not going to be a part of it. Verse 9, I am not appointed to the wrath of God. As a matter of fact, do you know what God did for you and for me? The day that Jesus Christ was stretched out on the cross, when he asked there in the garden before the cross, he said, Lord, I would that you would take this from me. If it's possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done. The will of God was to take God's holy wrath. And by the way, you've never had holy wrath. Just so you know, when you get angry, you get ticked off or whatever you call it, righteous indignation, sometimes we like to caveat there, you've never had holy wrath, the end, okay? Because you're a sinful being. God has holy wrath, and God says, I will not, I cannot look upon sin. I hate sin, the Bible says, and God wants to destroy sin. And since we're sinners, guess where we get, if we want to go one-on-one with God, we get his wrath and his destruction. But on the cross of Calvary, that's when we sing about Jesus. That's when we sing about his blood. Jesus paid it all that day on the cross. The wrath of God was poured out on what should have been for you and for me, was poured out on Jesus Christ that day. The beating was really bad. The Romans knew how to beat people, and the Romans knew how to crucify people physically. But what God did is poured out his wrath on Jesus Christ that day and says, listen, my wrath is being poured out so that it might be satisfied. It might be satisfied through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Hell, yes. You'll be saved from hell. You'll be saved from maybe frustrations this life, but you're saved ultimately from the wrath of God. You've been rescued by Jesus Christ. All right, now let's continue. Let's go back and look at this. I want you to see. So he starts out verse 1, but concerning the times and the seasons. Two words, and we'll get to those words in just a moment. Chronos, what time is it, right? From your chronological time, and then also Kairos. You'll see that, the seasons, knowing when the time is. There's two words he uses there. But I want you to see this. Go to your notes. I want you to see this so we go back and forth, back and forth. Disciples of Christ have been curious about when italicize that for you. He will return for his church even before the birth of the church at Pentecost. Isn't that funny? The disciples of Christ had curiosities about when are you going to return? Matter of fact, let's go over to Acts chapter 1 if we can do that. Acts chapter 1, and let's look at it together. When you're there, say amen. Y'all beat the preacher there because I didn't have it marked in my Bible. My bookmark just fell out. Yeah, you get to amen me. That way you can put pressure on me. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Say amen when you're there. Amen. So the disciples, therefore, when they had come together, they, the disciples, asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Now remember, Jesus Christ has already died on the cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he's rose again. God raised him from the dead on the third day, just as Scripture said. So now that they're seeing him again at the place he told them to meet, they're like, is this now the time? It makes the most sense. You've been here. You taught us. You were crucified. You bore the sins of the world. Is now the time for the kingdom? Because you are the king, and you are the resurrected king. You showed not only can you do miracles in this world before you died, but you came back from the dead, so we know that you have power. We know there's authority in you. Is now the time for the kingdom? And look what Jesus says to them. And he said, verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. And then he tells them, you shall have received power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what shall you do? Instead of looking for the when, Jesus said, I want you to look for the what. You shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So, go back to your notes. However, I want you to see this. Jesus emphasized that his disciples should not focus on the when, but on the what concerning the kingdom. Don't focus on the when, focus on the what. The what involves a command to share the gospel with the nations. While we carry out our mission, we are confident knowing that Jesus, our wonderful Savior, is coming back for his church. Amen? We asked this morning, the question was, what do we know about the coming of Jesus Christ? And I have astute young college and young adults. And guess what they said? What do we know about his coming? All right, y'all tell them. Who was in my class? Actually, come on, don't leave me hanging. You were there. Ross, where are you? He is coming. Elementary, is it not? The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for his church, according to Scripture. So what do we know as a stone-cold hard fact? We know for the fact that the Word says Jesus Christ is returning. All right? And we also know from what Paul taught the church at Thessalonica that he is coming for this taking away of the church. The Old Testament, you won't find the rapture in the Old Testament. You'll see foreshadowings of it, but you won't see a word saying this church period that we live in, it's something that was mysterious, and boom, here we are. We live in this special time of the church age. You and I live in the best time ever. Has there ever been a time to live? I believe. I'd rather live now than the day of walking with Jesus, because they only got 3.5 years with him. Now we have the Holy Spirit living within us. We have decision-making abilities. We go to the Word, and we can make decisions based on thus saith the Word of God. When I've told you time and time again, so many people say, I just wish I would hear God speak. All you have to do is open your Bible. Open your Bible. God has spoken for 66 books. For years, thousands of years, God has spoken. And listen, his word, even in Genesis, still brings comfort today. I was looking this morning also as I walked in. The moon was just over that old tree out there. And I was like, oh boy, it's time for you to go to bed because you were told to rule over the night. Right? On day 4 of creation, the sun is to rule over the day and the moon is to rule over the night. It's time for you to go night, night, moon, right? You ever read that book, right? It's time to go good night because you have a responsibility. How do we know that happens? Tomorrow, guess what's going to happen? The sun's going to come up. The moon's going to go. Obviously, we understand rotation of the earth. We understand a little bit about science. We understand it's not going away, but it's on the other side of the world. Listen, we're not going to see it. It's going to be nighttime again. And did you know that God always started all of creation evening, and then the morning was the first day? Darkness was always there, and then the light. Darkness comes and then the light. And Paul is telling the church, listen, now you are people of the light. Darkness was in your life. You were a sinner. But listen, now you've been saved by the grace of God and light has come into your life. And listen, this is the exciting thing is, hey, he's not only come into your life, but if you die before Christ comes return, his rapture of the church comes, present with the Lord. Is that comforting? And then, listen, if you are living and you go, I miss my loved one so much, Paul says, don't worry. They're going to come with Christ. They're going to receive their new bodies on the way up. And then we who are alive in Christ will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be joined with them in the air, is what the Bible says. In the air. So the Lord Jesus Christ is not coming to touch the earth. So sometimes when you study biblical prophecy, you go, wait a minute, is that the second coming? So it's like the 1.5 coming of Christ, right? The rapture is not the second coming of Christ. He is going to physically come from heaven and reign on this earth. There is a second reigning of Christ here on earth. He's going to reign as king for 1,000 years. That's part of trying to read this passage. It's very hard because there's a lot of stuff you need to know. Let's continue. Look at your notes. What is our great command that God says? What is the what the church is supposed to do? Well, I didn't put it in your notes on purpose. It's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth, right? How much authority does Jesus have? All authority. And he said, listen, you go. This is the what. You go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you teach them everything I've taught you. And remember, I'm with you always. How long? To the end of the age. So here's the question for you, my brother, my sister. If you're a Christian today, are you going to the nations? And the problem with the church is we're not even going to the neighbors, let alone the nations. But Pastor, I'm so busy. My life is complicated. Welcome to the world. Amen? That does not excuse you from going to the nations. We're doing anything we can. We have the GoFund in our church. And the GoFund was something God put on my heart years ago that we said, listen, if people would take their vacation time, the churches of God sent Paul on his missionary journeys. Paul had to work. Yes, he did. He made tents. He was a tent maker by trade. But the church ponied up and said, listen, we don't have a whole lot of money. The church of Philippi said, we don't have a lot of money, but we're going to send it to you. Corinth, you go back and look at the churches. The churches gave gifts so that the church in Jerusalem and so that the missionaries who were on the field could stay on the field. That's the idea of Southern Baptists. We want to pay and keep our missionaries on the field. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. But we, for individually, we don't get an escape plan and say, listen, oh, we just give. Because when I grew up, it was just give to missions and pray for the missionaries on their birthday. That's all we did. Give to missions and pray for the missionaries on their birthday, and you're just, that's an attaboy, and you get a little badge for doing that. Good job. It was never go, get off your dumpster and go to the nations. That's what God's called you. The command is get up and go. Amen? It's time for us to get and go to our neighbors and to the nations. The command, that's the what. When is the when? Yes. The when is when it is. When is it? No man knows. Jesus even said when he was here on earth, not even the Son of Man knows why he was here on earth. Somebody says, well, God's keeping secrets. Therefore, the Trinity don't know everything. I guarantee you, Jesus knows the when today because he's in heaven, right? He is the glorified Son of God. Let's continue. Let's go back and look at the scripture again. So, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, meaning none of your business. That's not what he's saying. Look at verse 2, because it's important that we read the scripture to how it says it the way it says it. Young people, you can know this. I was always fearful of this. I didn't know the truth. I couldn't get to the truth because I didn't read it one, and I couldn't hear it because I couldn't hear it. I was lost. How long was Paul with the church at Thessalonica? Do you remember? We preached this a few weeks ago. How long did he have to spend with them one-on-one? Three Sabbaths. Plus, I'm sure he spent breakfast, lunch, and dinner teaching the truths of the Word of God. So for 3 weeks, this church got a new members class for 3 weeks, indoctrination, and Paul says to them, look at verse 2. This is a condemnation for us in the 21st century church, by the way. So get ready to have your feelings hurt. You ready for this? Look what he says. For you, church, you yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. He'd been with them for 3 weeks. And he said, you know certainly, you know full well about the day of the Lord. And here we are in the Church of Christ today in the 21st century with books and technology and computer programs, and we still sit around and we drink coffee and we philosophize and we argue over what's going to happen next on the prophetic calendar. We don't bring the church to a unification. We actually divide the church and say, well, listen, follow me. As for me and my house, this is what we do. We follow John Calvin, or we follow, and we go list names from all of history. Listen, I don't follow John Calvin. I follow Jesus Christ. When you read the Word of God, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? And God makes it so understandable if you have the Holy Spirit. He says, He is your teacher. The Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask the Father and send Him. He'll be your comforter. He'll be your counselor. He'll be your teacher. You say, well, I don't understand the Bible. You don't understand the Bible because you're not saved or you're not reading it. Do you understand here when Paul says, listen, I have no reason or no need to teach you? What does it mean when you hear peace and safety? Just say it back to me. What does it mean when you hear peace and safety? Peace and safety. Or security, your Bible might say. Sometimes it says security. I want to show you a world map real quick. Let's throw your eyes on the map. And I know I told you to stay out of the news, but you need to know the times at least. The Antichrist is going to step in. We get into 2 Thessalonians. We're going to talk about the Antichrist. Paul's going to write him and say, hey, listen, I want to tell you. I'm going to give you the updates on the man of lawlessness. Let me tell you what it's going to be like. So Paul says here, there's somebody coming on before the day of the Lord saying peace and safety. And y'all have heard me say it before, that Donald Trump would be a perfect candidate for the Antichrist, right? You don't have to like him, but he's going to fix this over here. And he said in Israel, I'm going to take all of Gaza. It's just a dumpster of Gaza. Move all the Palestinians out, and we're going to make a nice beach right there. And the U.S. is going to have that piece of property, right? And there's going to be safety there. No more war. Hamas is out. No more war. Israel's right next door neighbor. We're going to protect each other. And then Iran's over there threatening. They're going to almost got a nuclear weapon. By the way, Iran and Russia's got to crank up. Did you know that? They got to wake up and crank up against Israel. So President Trump, I'm not saying he's the Antichrist. Don't leave here today because I've said it more than once. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist because I don't know who the Antichrist is. But he's meeting with Russian counterparts and saying, listen, we're going to fix that war in Ukraine without inviting the Ukrainian leadership into that conversation. Well, Europeans, the French and the British, they're all like, we didn't get invited to the party. So they hurried this week, past week, and they had their own council of meetings. Did you see that? So the Europeans are meeting together. Well, guess what? The Antichrist, he's going to resurrect the Roman or the European government, and he's going to have some foothold. Can you see, even if it was this today, I'm not trying to scare you and saying, because when are the seasons and when are the times? The answer is we don't know, but we are able to read some of the calendars, are we not? Earthquakes, you go to Matthew 24, 25. But European leadership's like, they're all puffy. We didn't get invited to that party or that party. We don't like him. And they're pouting. And what's happening is they're trying to have a unified front saying, hey, we're going to do something ourselves. We'll invite you in. We have authority. And you got Russia and Iran. Iran's like, well, we're going to see. We're going to put a stop to Israel. If you read the prophecies, you're going to go back, you got to read some Daniel, you got to read some Ezekiel, you got to go back and read some Joel, some Amos, which we preach through. And you go, wow, this is amazing. What's happening on the world theater right now looks like it's setting up for this perfect timing in 2 Thessalonians we're coming to. When I used to read that as a kid or hear that, I was like, oh no, I want to finish school. I want to get married. I want to have kids. And now that I'm a grandpa, guess what? I want my grandkids to get big. And I want to do all these different things. And we always keep stepping like, Lord, come next week. Come next week. But listen, isn't the most beautiful thing to be in the presence of the Lord? It is. Listen, let's continue. Let's go quicker. So second point on your notes. The Apostle Paul encouraged the church in Thessalonica with assurance that at the sound of the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first and receive their new heavenly bodies. And then we who are alive and remain will be called up together with them in the clouds for our eternal meeting with the Lord in the air. It's going to last forever. good news, bad news. I don't know if it's good news, not bad news. I used to think you're going to live in heaven forever. You're not going to live in heaven forever. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. You have work to do. I believe during those 7 years of tribulation here on earth, we're going to be going through some judgments in heaven. You can't be judged for your sins because Jesus paid it all. Remember that. Don't forget that. But the things that you should have done in this life, listen, there are things that you personally, if I said make a list, make a top 10 list of things God clearly said for you to do, and you said, but Lord, I'm afraid. I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. I don't have the education. Could you write those down? And I guarantee if you sit by yourself with a cup of coffee, you could say, I can write down 10 things like that that God told me to do, and I didn't think I was worthy, I didn't think I was educated enough, I didn't think, whatever, fill in the blank, whatever it might be, I wasn't a good church member, fill in whatever it might be. We can make lists of things that we say, Lord, I would have if. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He empowers you to do what God has called you to do. Did God raise people from the dead? If he calls you to do something and it kills you, could he raise you from the dead? Did God heal the deaf? If you have hearing problems, can God fix it? Who made the deaf, mute, and the blind? That's what God asked Moses. He says, I did. But Lord, my fill in the blank, whatever your excuse is, you're going to give an account individually, not your mama, not your daddy, not your grandma, grandpa. You will give an account to the Lord according to Scripture for the things you said and did in this life. Brothers and sisters, listen, let me encourage you. Get busy with what God says for you to do. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how aged you are, whatever you might fill in the categories. Don't make excuses any longer because the Lord Jesus Christ, he says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, you're saved by his grace through faith, that you might get busy doing his work because you're his workmanship. You have work to do. You're going to give an account. Listen, you're not going to hear me in heaven. You're going to hear the Lord Jesus Christ saying, why did you not do what I told you to do? It's going to be in love, of course. And the Bible says he's going to wipe away tears in heaven. Why is he going to be wiping away tears in heaven? Contrary to what Southern gospel music says, no more tears in heaven, right? There are tears in heaven. There's going to be millions and millions and millions of gallons of tears in heaven. Why is he going to wipe away? Why does the Bible say he's going to wipe away our tears if there's no tears in heaven? The tears are going to be tears. I believe there's going to be two tears. I believe it's going to be tears of joy, but tears of regret. Lord, I knew you could do it, but I just didn't have enough faith. Forgive me, Lord. And he's like, you're forgiven, but you're not going to receive the reward I had for you for what I signed for you to do. And the things he says, don't touch that. Don't get in that group. Don't get in that, even if it's a church group, right? People who are under the name of Jesus Christ, don't do that. And you feel in your heart, I cannot even possibly be part of that group. But yet socially, I got to be a part of that group. And you walk into it. And because we do what he says don't do, and we don't do what he says to do, we sin. And we're going to give an account for that. Remember, Jesus paid it all on the cross, so your sins are forgiven. You're not going to get punished for your sins. You're just not going to get rewarded for your obedience. He wants you to be obedient. That's what he's called us to do. Let me go through quickly because I know time is fleeting. Paul transitioned the church's thoughts there in the first few verses. He transitioned the church's thoughts from the rapture to the day of the Lord, highlighting the distinction with his use of pronouns. And if you got a time to do this, and it's kind of a fun activity, go to chapter 14 and write down and circle the pronouns he's talking to the church. He says these pronouns, I, you, your, yourselves, we, and us, terms that describe the believers, the church of Thessalonica, the Christians. We are the people of God. Listen, I write to you, my brother, we who are alive. He's talking about us as the church, as me and you today as the church. But listen, there's also a warning to they and them in chapter 5, referring to unbelievers. Pronouns matter. Isn't that amazing? We're in the 21st century, and people say, well, you can't know your pronoun. Or you can make up your own pronoun. Pronouns matter in the Word of God, so don't get caught up in the stupidity of this world saying he, she, or identify, how you identify. If you're a male, let me just help you, you identify as a he. If you're born a young biological male, you're a he. And if you're a young biological female, you're a she. Whoever thought in 25,000 years we'd ever say that in the church? How crooked and perverse is our generation? We're getting closer to the day of the Lord's return, church. He talks about in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Read for yourself 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It's a very quick read. You're like, oh my goodness, that's right here in my house. That's right here where I live. Let's continue to see this. Only believers who have died in Christ and those living at his return will positively experience the rapture. The reason I put the word positively in there is because are other people going to be affected by the rapture who are not Christians? If you're in an airplane and I'm your pilot, this is your captain speaking. We're flying at 37. And I didn't push autopilot. What's going to happen? Plane crashes are in the news today, are they not? Imagine it's going to happen all over the world. At some point, I think I read there's some 40-something to 50,000 planes. Is that right? Can't I give you the, we talked about it. Thousands of planes in the air at one time. What if half of them have Christians as pilots and they haven't pushed autopilot yet? Is that going to affect the unbelievers on the plane? Yeah, there's a song that's going down, down, down. All the cabbies, everyone, the Ubers, people trained in the military, the whole world's going to be discombobulated really fast. That's why the man of lawlessness can step in organizationally. Let's get this, let's get this done. And it's going, wow, people's like, I don't really like that guy, but he's getting things done, right? In America, what happens? We almost worship you if you drop bread, eggs, and gas prices. Isn't it true? Let a snowstorm come, what do we do? Fill up with gas. Like we got a long way to drive. Where are we going? Aiken's not that big, right? Aiken County's big as Rhode Island. I got that, but we're not that big. Gas, eggs, and bread, and milk. So this man is going to step on the scene. We're going to see this man. Almost a vivid picture of him in 2 Thessalonians coming up. And I know the time today, y'all. Listen, only believers, those who have died in Christ and those who are living in Christ will be taken. The church does not know the when, but we can know the times. The kairos there, kairos and chronos. And kairos is the Greek word for seasons or the right or critical moment. That's what that word is there. Is you don't, in verse 1, chapter 5, but concerning the times and the seasons. That exact time. You don't need messing with that stuff. You need to know the what. The church of Thessalonica, and this is the amazing thing to me, they only had 3 weeks with Paul, yet they knew accurately the day of the Lord is coming upon the unbeliever, just as a thief comes unexpectedly and suddenly in the night. There is absolutely no way for the unbeliever to escape the certain judgment of the Lord. Rest assured, God has sharp words for unbelievers. And we had all those lists. Chris listed all those up there. But if you look up there carefully, we have crossed this bridge. When I preached to the book of Joel, when I preached to the book of Amos, all of these cross-referenced as we went through the scriptures. They're in your bulletin. So if you didn't get a bulletin, they grab it on the way out. Read them. God has sharp, wrathful words for the unbeliever. God is beckoning us today. He's calling out loud, come to Jesus. Give your heart and life to Jesus. Why do we preach like we do? Why do we bother singing? Why do we bother praying? Why do we bother teaching in a small group? Why do we bother having a facility to gather and meet? Why do we do it? It's because we're screaming as best we can the word of God, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Give your heart and life to Jesus Christ today. Know that you belong to him, because in belonging to him, then you can be fruitful and you can grow the kingdom of God. Come to Jesus is our beck and cry. And lastly, if you look at the last two, all who believe in Christ Jesus as Savior and acknowledge him as God's Son are not in spiritual darkness nor subject to its power. We are people of light and the people of the day. God's truth about his coming is intended to cause believers to be alert and watchful, always sharing the faith, hope, and love of our Savior. Faith, hope, and love, there it is again. That's our responsibility. That's your responsibility as a Christian. If you speak with the tongues of angels, right, and you have not love, what are you? Paul says you're nothing. You're just a gangling. You make a noise. You're just like that kid beating on a pan. You're making noise in society. You're not anything special before the Lord. Stop it, is what he's saying. Have the character of our God and express love. Have the character of our God and express faith. Do y'all remember during COVID? It seems like it's been so far away. The people before the Sunday before COVID really was landing, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. We're more spiritual than you, right? Churches were competing for who was the best and most spirit-filled church in town. And that's Baptists, Pentecostals, Methodists, Presbyterians, you name it. It was every stripe in town and around the world saying, we love Jesus and we'll trust him. We'll take on that hill for Jesus. We'll do whatever in the name of Jesus. And then COVID hits and they're like, shut up and get home, put on the mask. And everybody's like, whoop. Did we not? Did we not shrink away? And listen, we were called dumb. We were called not caring. And I said, listen, if we're going to preach Jesus and believe him in the bad, in the good times, we sure better preach him and believe him in the good times. Amen? Do y'all remember the times? Because I got some heat. Why is your church remaining open? Why is your daycare being open? Why is your school even remaining open? And some of the parents got so scared we had to go virtual for that because the parents were afraid because they listened to the news. And remember we said, those of you that are masked, you sit here. Those of you that have been masked and you have at least the first shot, you sit here. Those of you who've been masked and you want to shoot two shots, you sit here. Those of you who don't care, sit here. And those of you that listen, and we went down the list and we said, even we'll put the fill people in the choir suite who thinks this is a bunch of caca, right? With just a bunch of stuff going on. You can sit up there. Remember that? Church, do you remember that? We were real because people were like, Pastor, you can't open the church. And they're chewing fingernails left and right. What if somebody gets sick? I got news for you. People get sick every day. If you've had the shot, you still get COVID, right? What do we have to fear? And now here we come around full circle. It's not COVID anymore. What's the next thing? Eddie addressed it last week. Pastor Eddie, immigration. And guess what? People that are not here legally, guess what they're doing? Hiding. I can't go to church. They might come get me at church. And we've said, listen, we're not without heart. We love our people. We love people of the nations. But if you're here illegally, listen, here's the deal. Make sure you're right with Christ and go back as a missionary, right? And if Christ sees fit that you're here, guess what? Be a missionary here. Don't hide behind whatever the issue is of the day. Jesus Christ is the same as Chris said earlier, yesterday, today, forevermore. He's on his throne, church. Lastly, a Christian hope and destiny is critically different than that of an unbeliever. You say, well, that's elementary. Is it? Do you understand that? That your destiny and your future is critically different than that of an unbeliever. Listen, I know the children are, some children might be in here. If you die without Christ, where will you spend eternity? Can you tell me? Like, some of you are so still elementary in your faith, you go, down there. Why can't you say the word hell? You are going to hell. How does that make you feel? That's how I got saved. Now, in the military, we used to tell each other to go to hell. That was just was how we would curse and slang. But when a preacher told me, son, let me tell you something, you're going to hell. He didn't say go to hell. He says you're going to hell. He ticked me off in Virginia. I wanted to fight him. And I left the church mad. And I went home, told Wendy, and said, what are you doing home, sir? I said, that's stupid. Preacher, a bunch of old people at that church. Preacher told me I was going to hell. Next Sunday, I went to a church about this size. Guess what? A real soft-spoken preacher. I'm preaching through the book of John, but somebody here today is going to hell, and I got to tell you the truth. It's very controversial. I'm like, what in the world? What's wrong with these churches? And I got up and walked down that church. Went home. Wendy said, what are you doing home? I said, stupid preacher told me I was going to hell. She said, he told you? Well, he didn't tell me personally, but he said it. You ever felt like that when I preach, when you're in the service? Like, does he know about what I'm talking about? He's like, he's thinking, he's reading my mind. So I laid my head down on the pillow, and guess what the Holy Spirit would say? Because is it a truth from Scripture that if you're lost and undone without Christ, you're going to hell? Is that a truth? Guess what I did? When I would lay my head on my pillow, whether it be on the ship or at home in our apartment, guess what the Holy Spirit would run through my head? You're going to hell. I'd wake up. I'd get busy. I'd stay busy. I'd take a nap. You're going to hell. I'm like, dadgum, I couldn't outrun it because God's word would not return void, even if it's not quoted chapter and verse, you're going to hell is a truth from the word of God throughout Scripture. An unbeliever and a believer, we have two different critical destinies. Brothers and sisters, listen, your family members, your friends, your co-workers, your loved ones, if they're undone without Christ, they're going to hell. You have to be about telling them. You say, well, they won't listen to me, Pastor. You keep praying for opportunity, and every opportunity you get, you share. It could be not you that leads them to Christ. It could be someone else. But let me just listen. Let me beg you as a brother in Christ, start praying now. Lift their name, put their name before you have coffee, before you have anything in the morning, put their name at least on a notepad and say, Lord, save their soul, whatever it takes. Save their soul, whatever it takes. That's not complicated. But yet Satan will give you 10,000 reasons not to pray that prayer. Because listen, he wants you to fail and he wants them to die without Christ. He hates us as humans and he hates Christ as well. Let me pray for us today. And listen, as we have the invitation, I challenge you, my brothers and my sisters, let me challenge you, those of you that are here today that are watching, maybe you're not a Christian, heaven is real, hell is real, and you will end up there one or the other place after you die. Amen? That's truth from the Word of God. Let me pray for you today. I know that's heavy, but listen, you should walk out of here heavy. If I'm going to heaven, is it heavy for me? Absolutely not. I'm walking out with a bounce. But I got a bunch of loved ones that I pray for. I don't want them to go. I got a lot of friends still from military days. I don't want them to go. I want them to be saved and be in heaven with me. Let's pray together. Father God, what do we pray? Obviously, Lord, our hearts are heavy and excited at the same time. Your word is true. You're taking us home to be with you. The day of the Lord is a tough and judgment day for the wrath of God to fall. Father, we have people right now that we love so much. And Lord, even me, and I know I can pray on my behalf, but Lord, for your people, our hearts are really heavy, Lord. We've sang this morning, we've prayed this morning, we've preached this morning, and Lord, we beg you, we beseech you, Lord, have your own way in our hearts, in the hearts of our loved ones, our coworkers, professors, teachers, fellow students, whomever you put around in our lives, Lord, help us be your witness. Penetrate their hearts with the gospel, we pray. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen and amen.